Harper Perennial and Harper Audio present The Most Wonderful Time, a novel by Jane Allen, performed by Mella Lee. This book is for you, but truly, for who you'll be after you hear it. And for you now, I hope that this you will enjoy the journey and all the characters you'll meet along the way, and that you'll have the most wonderful time. December 10th. Chelsea Flint on an otherwise lovely morning in Malibu, California. In Southern California, sunlight simply is. From majestic daybreaks until orange sherbet sunsets wash the sky, the sun is everywhere. Its warmth kisses the tops of the swaying palm trees and lays a blanket across the sable-colored beach sand. Its light tickles the rippling surface of the ocean and makes it writhe in sparkling delight. And in Malibu, a sleepy beach town just up the Pacific coast from the bustling metropolis of Hollywoodland, the sun makes a glorious daily procession to each of the 10,500 residents. That's why they're there. For the sun and the sea. But where our story begins, at this daybreak, the sun was having a very hard time finding its way to Chelsea Flint. Flanked by modern coastal mansions, a modest beachside cottage sat, stuck in time like a weathered shipwreck. At its bedroom window, the sun's rays wiggled through thin gaps and closed shutters to create their soft strokes on a still-sleeping Chelsea Flint's freckled face. Outside, the Pacific roared gently, with white-capped waves lapping the sand at low tide. A lovely morning it was, but Chelsea remained blissfully unaware of the obvious. From her ocean-facing bedroom, the developing splendor outdoors made a view so remarkable that it should never, absolutely never, ever be covered. But her shutters were shut as tightly as her eyes, while she was bundled cozily, red hair extending like a fountain of lava, into an avalanche of bedding, piles of comforter and pillows engulfing her slight-bodied frame like a bath of meringue. She was deep, deep in a forgetful slumber, far away from the realities that would shortly come to call with the sudden shriek of her cell phone. The blaring sound of the ringing phone made a stark contrast with the calm and rhythmic whoosh of the ocean. The phone was rude and insistent and would not be ignored. Chelsea awoke with a start, fumbled around to find the device, and eventually stopped its cacophonous assault. She finally croaked a groggy, "Hi, Helena," into the closest end, which she hoped contained the microphone. For Chelsea, it was much too early for any reasonable conversation. But that was when Helena, Chelsea's art gallerist and agent, most liked to call. Helena was a Londoner and respected absolutely no other time zone than the one that she herself was currently in. And that was to be expected, because Helena's time was literally money, and she had little of the former to spare. Unless you happen to be a member of such and such royal family, lately rumored to be her biggest clients. She was also one of the absolute best at what she did. And if you were lucky enough to fall into a coveted spot in her tightly curated client list, you would certainly tolerate this minor disruption. Because when Helena called, money followed. Or at least it was supposed to. What artist with even an inkling of ambition wouldn't want a direct line to the director of the Guggenheim or the Tate Modern? Helena had the sort of enviable Rolodex that could only be built through decades of experience and a healthy dose of je ne sais quoi and je m'en fous. Once, Helena was even able to convince the notoriously crabby curator of the Centre Pompidou to house her American client's neon light 80s retrospective with full-on repeated reruns of Family Ties. For Helena, however, Chelsea was no ordinary client. She was family, or at least considered so, as much as a person like Helena.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?